Book of Jonah, got the kids going over junior church. I got a, they messed with me this morning during Sunday school. I think my son-in-law did it. He blamed it on Paul. Took my Bible and notebook and hid it somewhere, and I was running around. I knew I had it in here. I went running around looking for it and come back and sitting on my seat. But I was kidding. I told him, I said, I could preach this message without my notes because I got it. Actually, it's one of the few places in the Bible I got to outline it written down. I got all the points marked off in the Book of Jonah. Is a great book. I mean, there's some, I was telling Sherry this morning, there's so many outlines you can get out of the Book of Jonah. I mean, there's tons of them. And I preached from it before, probably touch on some of those things. It won't be the same. I told Eileen, I think some of my point titles might be the same, but the message would be different. But in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and thank you that we can meet as your people. I pray that you speak to hearts today. Lord, we know that you love us, Lord, and we're thankful for that. And might not everybody here has trusted you for their salvation. Maybe they don't love you, Lord. But I pray that your will be done this morning in hearts, and Lord, and we can get our relationship with you in the place it needs to be. Ask you to work in us, among us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I got kind of an odd title up there. I'll have to explain it when I get a little farther in the message so to make more sense to you right there. And, you know, most of us know the story of Jonah. You know, God had a will for Jonah. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach. A lot of different reasons why. Ninevites were wicked people. He probably didn't care that much for them. Just different things. I don't know. Why don't we do what God wants us to do? You know, a lot of times I'll explain that to you in a little while if you don't know. But we don't always do what God wants us to do. But, you know, God's got his ways and his means. And so Jonah, to try to run away from God, he got on a ship. And I didn't read. You have to kind of read the whole book of Jonah to have the whole story. And I'm just going to go from place to place. So save all that reading. But, you know, Jonah did. He got on a ship that was going to Tarshish, and it was in another direction. He was going away from God, trying to get away from God. Now, you know, two things right there. A lot of people try to get away from God, and the reality is you can't, technically, you can't run away from God because God will find you somewhere down the road. But we can run away from God's will. We can do that. And Jonah certainly was doing his best and trying to do that. And, of course, then God, he called up a storm, caused a storm to arise, and the people that ran the ship, they understood that. They didn't know about the one true God, but they knew that a God was probably unhappy, and so they started trying to figure out why, and Jonah's conscience got the best of him, and he said, well, I'm the reason why, because God wants me to do something. I don't want to do it. He said, the only way you're going to calm the storm is throw me overboard. They didn't want to do it, but they finally did. They threw him overboard, and then the Bible says that God prepared a great fish, a whale, it even tells us in Matthew, and this ship, of course, swallowed him up, And so, God prepared this fish. And so 3 days and three nights, Jonah's in the belly of this whale. And finally, the whale spit him out on the shore. Guess what? Jonah went to Nineveh, the place that God wanted to go in the first place. He went to Nineveh. He preached the word of God. And, of course, a great revival broke out in Nineveh. I think it was it lasted. They had turned to God for 130, 140 years, something like that. When you get to studying that, there's a pattern that develops, and when we look, and I actually marked down an outline in my Bible, and this is the battle that we have going on in our life a lot of times too. It's like it says, you know, there was the word of God, which is going to be my first point, and then it's like God wants this, and then it says but Jonah, and then it says but God, and then it says then Jonah. And then God, you know, so that's the battle that we have going on a lot of times in our life. You know, God wants this, but we want that. And God wants this, and we want this. And so we got this battle that's going on with our will all the time against the will of God. And so that'll come out kind of as we look along in the text this morning. But one verse, I got a couple of verses that really stick out. And in chapter 2, this was after Jonah had been in the whale's belly. And I want you to know something. At the start of chapter 2, Jonah had a really good prayer meeting right there in the belly of a whale. I don't know about you, but if a whale swallowed me, I don't get in the water no more. I saw the other day where some guy at a theme park down in North Carolina, one of them water parks, got some kind of brain-eating amoeba, went in, his brain is eating on his brain. Man, just stay out of the water. I'm telling you, just stay. If you go to the beach, sharks are eating everybody that gets in the water down there, or you get some kind of flesh-eating bag, just stay out of the water. The only water I want to see is in the shower. And we kind of worry about that. But anyway, that's another point. But here, you know, Jonah gets in the belly of a whale. I believe if I got swallowed by a whale, I'd be a praying fool, man. I'll tell you what, he was praying. He had a prayer meeting. And I'll tell you about that prayer in just a little bit. But he got a prayer. But then it says this in verse 7 of chapter 2. Says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I remembered the Lord. I would hope so. You know, and I got to thinking about that. The way he said that, I remembered the Lord. I was wondering how in the world did a Jonah, a child of God, this is somebody that knew the Lord. It wasn't somebody that just, you know, kind of peripherally knew him. He was a prophet. I mean, in other words, he had prophesied, thus saith the Lord. They didn't have the Bible in the Old Testament. It was thus saith the Lord. Whatever the prophet said, they told the people what God said. He was a prophet, man. This guy had preached the word of God. How did he get to the point where he forgot about God? And then I understand that the world sometimes, that there's people in the world right now that don't have any regard for God. You can't see it, but I can stand up here, and this is Sunday, and it's Sunday morning, and this is supposed to be a Christian nation, although we're not. But we were at one time, we're supposed to be. And right now, there's vehicles going. There's one coming right now, one going that way, one going this way. I don't know what they're doing. They could be an emergency. They could be Christian. They could be a child of God. I don't know. Maybe they got a crisis going on. But there's a whole lot of the world going up and down the highway right now that doesn't have any regard for God. They say they love Him with their lips, but they don't love Him with their life, or they know God. And to some degree, they have no regard for God. I understand how that world forgets God. They haven't remembered Him in the first place. But I don't understand how a child of God forgets God, but I know they do. I know they do. And that's what, you know, I want to kind of look at that this morning. So we look at the very first thing, very first point. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 1, now the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. You know, the Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, down in verse 14 of chapter 1, and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. And so in the beginning was the Word. And then God created man and woman. You know, we know about that. And Adam and Eve, they had a perfect fellowship with God. God came, and it was used to coming in the cool of the evening. He talked verbally with Adam and Eve. We know that. But what happened? Eve doubted the Word of God. Then came the Word of God. Eve doubted. Satan got her to doubt the Word of God. And then Eve went to Adam. Adam didn't doubt the Word of God. He just flat out disobeyed the Word of God. Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was. Satan tricked old Eve. But when Eve came to Adam and said, hey, look, here's this fruit that we're not supposed to eat. She didn't say that, but that's in parentheses. Here's this fruit. Adam just said, well, let me have it. I'm going to eat it because you ate it too. So he just flat out disobeyed God. He knew the word of the Lord. What's the problem in the world today? Well, I don't know what the world's problem with everything going on. I know what the problem is. Thus saith the Lord. And the world says, we don't care. We're going to do what we want to do. That's the problem in the world today. And so we think about God created this. They disbelieved God. Then next thing you know, one of their children, they knew God. Even after Adam and Eve sinned and God slew an animal, clothed them with animal skins, He drug a confession out of them. You know, it's like pulling teeth. He drug a confession out of them, what had happened. And they knew God. They knew how to worship God. God had given them some instructions. Well, you know, old Cain, he didn't want to follow them instructions. He didn't want to sacrifice an animal out of the flock. He wanted to grow some stuff in the garden and give it to God. It looked good on the outside, but it wasn't what God wanted him to do. He got mad about it, and we know that the first murder was committed. He killed his brother. And the Bible says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. So he, in other words, he forgot God. He could have confessed. He said, yep, God, sin got the best of me. I've killed Cain. I'm sorry. I want to ask your forgiveness. He didn't do that. He just went out. He said he went out from the presence of the Lord. And he started raising a family. And he started raising family without God. All generation after generation. I've visited families all over this county. Went around and you get talking to them. You know what? There's families out there. They don't go to church. Their mom and dad didn't go to church. Their grandmother and grandfather didn't go to church. Their great-grandmother, they didn't go. And just going to church, you know, don't get me wrong. You can go to church till you're blue in the face and still be lost as Hogan's goat. I understand that. But you know, at least you're having some sort of relationship or hearing the Word of God. But I'm talking about people that just didn't have nothing to do with God. They had nothing to do with, so they really, technically, they have forgot God as far as what's going on in their life. And that's what happened today. So we have multitudes and millions of people living apart from God, and it started way back in the beginning. It was a gradual thing. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, I believe, they rejected the true God. They made their own, Romans chapter 1, I'm sorry. They rejected the true God. They made their own God. The Bible says they worshiped the creation and they worshiped the creature instead of God. And then there's people that don't do that, and this is what they do. This is what's prevalent today. People form a God in their mind. It's based on partly on the Word of God or partly on what they perceive God to be. But what they do, instead of saying, okay, listen, I'm going to believe what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says about God. I'm going to make a God of my own imagination. That's why we hear about God. He's always love. You know, God's love. And we're so self-centered and selfish. That's what we do. God is love. And God, and I'm so special. Man, I'm just, and I'm not, I'm talking about the proverbial I. I'm not just talking about me. I know I'm special. No, I'm just kidding. I'm talking about the proverbial me. What we say to ourselves is subconsciously, well, I'm just so special that God's just going to overlook all my wickedness and all my, you know, all that stuff. We look at ourselves like that without whether we wouldn't come. We're so prideful. We wouldn't say that. We wouldn't admit that, but that's what the bottom line is. So people make up a God of their own imagination. They take a little of the cafeteria style, take a chunk here, a chunk there. I don't like this. I'm going to throw it out. There's a heaven. There's no hell. God's love, but he's not holy. God's forgiving, but he's not a judge. You know, let's just cut all the bad stuff off and make a God in our mind that way. And so that's what goes on. And so what happens, they've really forgotten the true God. And so I understand, as I said, how the world has forgotten God. That makes perfect sense to me. But I struggle a little bit when we get to see verse 2 or verse 3. It says, I didn't read that far. It says, but Jonah, he rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Remember that? What happened to Cain all the way back in the very beginning? What did Cain do? He said he fled from the presence of the Lord, right? He ran away from God. What is Jonah doing? It says he fled from the presence of the Lord. He's running away from God. Huh? He's sitting here. Well, I'm not running away from God because I'm sitting right here in my seat. Oh, yeah, but you can still be running away from God sitting right here in your seat. Huh? Because you're running away right here. Your heart and your head is not in the same spot. You can still run away from God. And so we think about, here's this guy, Jonah. He knew God. He was a prophet of God, a child of God. How did he get to the place that he forgot God? I'm going to tell you what. The same way the lost generation started to fleeing from the presence of God and running from God's will. And so it's the same battle with God's people today. It's that battle of the will. And like I said, it's back and forth between God and Jonah. Put your name there. You know, but God, but you, but God, but you. Back and forth, but. All that. And here's the deal. Here, both problems are the same. It has to do with the people that don't know God and the people that do. It's self-centeredness and selfishness. Man, we are just selfish. I always use the illustration. You get a bunch of Baptists sitting around that dinner table at lunch after church and that last chicken leg's on there. You'll find out about it. Huh? And nobody asking, hey, brother, hey, Brother Randy, would you like to have this last chicken leg? I just look over there before Randy gets his fork. I'm getting my, I'm going to get that chicken leg, man. Sorry, but last one. Oh, I already bit it. I wanted to give it. I didn't realize you didn't have one, brother. I done bit the thing. You don't want it now. That's what we do, right? And so we're selfish, you know. And Jonah, this is what it is. Jonah wanted his own way. He wanted his own way. And we look around it today at what's going on. I've tell this illustration all the time. People call me on Saturday night out of the blue. I hadn't seen them, and I don't know when. I'm going to be there tomorrow, preacher. I'm going to be at church. Okay, I just want you to know I ain't dead. I ain't fell out. All right. 100% of the time, they never show up the next day. On Sunday, they call me at 8:30 on Saturday night. Sunday morning comes around, they don't make it. What happens to us? How do we fall out of church? How do we fall away from God? It's real easy because your will. A little picnic here, a little vacation here, a little trip down the road right there, a little busyness, a little business, change my work schedule where I can't work, you know, do what I used to do, can't serve God, can't worship God, whatever, because I'm going to get more money from me, you know. And then every now and then we throw out that cursory bone to God, you know, come to church, sit there for an hour. I tell you, a fella, I met this guy at the flea market down there yesterday, man, and the guy, he didn't know I was a preacher, man. I was looking around eyeballing some stuff he had. He saw me standing there for a minute, I was waiting on somebody else to get tonight. He goes, hey, man, come here to me. He goes, I want to give you a CD. He goes, this is a gospel preaching CD. I said, man, I appreciate that. I said, I'll listen to it. And he told me where he went to church and everything. And he started talking. I said, well, you know, actually, I said, I am a pastor. He said, oh, really? Yeah, man, that's great. And man, that guy, he's talking faster than I'm talking now. He didn't shut up, man. I mean, he was telling me, boy, about this and this, how God spoke to him and how he got saved. I mean, it was good to see somebody on fire for God, honestly. It was good to see somebody on fire. But this is what he told me. I said, man, I'm going to use this right here. He said, I'm going to tell you what right now. He took his wallet out and he had a big wad of cash. He said, if I told people that was Christian people, he said, if I told them I'm going to give you $50 for every person that you witness to in the next 24 hours, starting right now, he said, it's 8 o'clock, $50 for every person you witness to from now to tomorrow at 8 o'clock. He said, I'm going to tell you what, they'd come, they'd have a bag full of $50 bills. He said, but they'll do it for money. He said, but they won't do it for God. And he said, look around right here. Look at this flea market. He said, look at it. They get down there, bust their hump to get down here at 6 o'clock in the morning to get that table set up because they can make some dollars. Try to get them to come down to the church, huh, and to do something for God on Sunday. Try to do something around the church, maybe a little paint and a little mow and a little weed eat. Try to do that. Oh, man, we can't do that. Huh? No, we can't do that because it's not for me. See, that's the self-centered part of it, right? Boy, they're all down there. You know, we could have had a whole church. There was more down there at the flea market yesterday morning than we got in church today. Easy. Easy. But that's what happens. We start getting wrapped up in ourselves, and then we start forgetting about God. And so we show up, mumble through a few songs, listen to the preaching sometime if the cell phone don't get in the way of that. And then our prayers become repetitive and sporadic. And then what? Then what? Well, but God. But God. I'm glad for the buts in the Bible. My pastor preached a message on that one time. I said, thank God for the buts in the Bible. He said, but God. Jonah didn't want to preach. But he said, but God, right? But God had another plan. And thank God that God doesn't leave us to ourselves. Here's another outline that you could use right here out of Jonah. I love it. God is a God of preparation. God prepares things. Buddy, God prepared a storm. He prepared a great fish. A little bit later when Jonah was moping around in self-pity, he prepared a gourd. Then he prepared a worm to eat the gourd. And there's a prepared place in heaven and there's a prepared place in hell and everybody ain't going to both of them, right? I mean, God's got that. That's an outline right there. I'll give you that next week. Amen. I'm going to give it a little bit of it today. Listen, God prepares, and so he prepared this fish. I'm going to tell you something. You know, God is good. Amen. Jonah got swallowed up by a whale, and Jonah could sit in the bottom and say, God is good. Sometimes people send out little things, and something comes out the right way. I was sharing with Sherry, and I don't like to do it. Like something comes out in a favorable way, and we say, oh, boy, God is good. I'm going to tell you something. God is good if it doesn't come out your way or not. Huh? Jonah would have been saying, if that whale hadn't swallowed Jonah and it was about to, Jonah could have said, boy, God is good. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Jonah got swallowed by the whale and God was still good. Huh? Well, God is good. That lump I had on my head didn't come out to be cancer. But I'll tell you what, if it came out to be cancer, God's still good. Huh? Because God's prepared. God's got a plan for things. So sometimes when we say God is good because something came out good, it almost implies that if it didn't come out good, that God is not good, and that's not true. God is always good. God's got a reason. This whale was the best thing that happened to Jonah. One of the best things that happened to Jonah. He prepared a great fish and he prepared a great wind and he got the storm. God knows how to get our attention. And so what happened to Jonah? See, when he got swallowed up by the whale. See, really what Jonah's problem was, and this is where the title comes from. Anyway, you know what a 501c3 is, right? A 501c3 is when you file for a nonprofit to be a nonprofit. Jonah was a nonprofit prophet. Jonah was a nonprofit prophet. God wanted him to go preach the word of God in Nineveh, and he didn't want to go. You're not profiting God, huh? And you know what? A lot of us are nonprofit prophets. We might as well file for I put 501C SEA instead of C because he was going to be in the nonprofit business in the belly of the whale. You getting it? You'll get it on the way home if you don't get it right now. And so a lot of us though are at the point, see, because of our will against God's will, that we're not profitable unto God. As I'm talking about to the Christian people, the people that are saved. We're not profitable God. And so he had become this in his own self. And so afflictions, we think about afflictions in the world and afflictions in Jonah's life. God is still good. God is still good. Afflictions in the world. And why? I've had people ask me this question more. There's two questions, two or three, and I'll give you one of them that I have people ask me more about since I've been saved and going way back. You know, if there's a God, how come all this wickedness in the world, how come evil happens in the world? I'll tell you why, because God is trying to get you to turn back to him. Jonah didn't have no prayer meeting worth a hoot until he got in the belly of the whale, right? When chapter 2 is when he prayed. He prayed pretty good, although it had some issues. But afflictions will cause us to turn back to God, and that's what's going on in the world. You know, you got to have that contrast or you wouldn't know to turn to God, and so he did. And so a lot of people ask that. So God's trying to get your attention. God's good in that way. And then we see the next point right here. It was then Jonah, you know. And we look at then Jonah. Now Jonah decides to pray. And in chapter 2, this is his prayer. Now Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And I said, I cried. I like that. I cried. Now this is a prayer. I mean, this is sincere. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed about me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee and to thy holy temple. And so there's Jonah praying, and boy, now he prayed, he remembered God. And man, listen, I'm going to tell you something. God sent Jesus Christ, his son, into the world one time. And God doesn't have to do anything else to convince the lost world out here that he's God and that he's real and that he loves them, especially that he loves them, that he is love. Listen, I mean, what is he doing today? What he's doing is what he was trying to get Jonah to do. He's got people that are preaching the word of God. We got pastors, we got teachers, and then we got just God's people with the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach to God. Tell somebody about that guy that I was talking about down at the carnival grounds. He got CDs. He said, man, I'm just selling all this extra junk I got, but really what I want to do, I want to give out these CDs. Got this CD. He said, I'm in charge. He goes, I got saved. And he said, I'm in charge of the tape ministry or the CD ministry at my church. And he give out these tapes of his preacher preaching. And he tells somebody about Jesus Christ. Man, he just down there telling. Then, man, he was wound up. I thought I was just grinning, man, because as much as I talk, I couldn't even get a word in, man. It was, bit, 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 bit. I did a lot of button. I couldn't get nothing in there. And, man, I mean, it was good, though. And, you know, he said, man, he was all excited about it and everything. I came back and told Sherry. She said, I got excited just listening to you tell about him there. But because he's doing what God wants us to do, right? He's fulfilling. That's what God's doing. He doesn't have to do anything to convince the lost world of himself being real. And there's no promises that he would do that. But I'll tell you what, there is a promise to people that are saved that get out of God's will. He's got a promise to you. The Bible says that he said, I will chasten those whom I love. I will chasten them. I had somebody at one time arguing with me on a text message thing back and forth about chasten didn't mean, it just mean to teach. Well, it does mean to teach. But have you ever had somebody raise and say, buddy, I'm going to teach you a lesson? They ain't planning on having a prayer meeting with you, I don't believe, or a Bible study, right? No. Somebody say, I'm going to teach you a lesson. There's some more physicality about to take place there, right? And so you look at what God, he also said, and my argument was that didn't get a response and it ended the whole conversation was, the Bible says that he chasteneth and scourgeth everyone he loveth. Maybe a paraphrasing that just a little bit, but those that he loves, scourgeth. Now look scourgeth up. It don't mean just teach. Scourge, that's a physical thing. We got a promise from God, like Jonah did. Jonah wasn't going to let God run down there, not when he had something for him to do. He was a child of God, right? Well, I'm going to tell you what, you go on living in wickedness and living in sin and you disregard God in all your life and you think you're saved and God doesn't chasten you, that's evidence plus that you're not saved. That's the evidence that you're not saved right there because he got a promise from God that he would chasten those whom he loved. And then it says, you know, the Lord came again in chapter 3. This starts off the next point. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. This is after he prayed in the whale's belly, right? And this is the good news right here. I'm going to tell you something. God is the God of second chances. You know, all through the Bible, I mean, man, you know what? Listen, we're just flesh. God knows it. We're dust. God knows it. God knows we fail. Listen, he's not expecting perfection out of us, but for Pete's sake, he is expecting us to go towards himself or you know, to be going towards God. I mean, I'm going towards God. You know, and trying to, and I'm going to tell you what, when he chastens me, I listen, And the Bible's full. Listen, Abraham, he went down to Egypt and God didn't tell him to go down there. He didn't lead him to that place. And when he got down there, he was worried about his wife being taken away from him. So he lied and said it was his sister. But if you look at that story, he never one time built an altar, never worshiped God, never even prayed till he got back to the place that God wanted him to be up in the land of Canaan. He got back up there. And then when he did, the Bible says that he built an altar and he worshiped. First time ever. You get out of God's will, I'm going to tell you something. You can't worship. I don't care if you're sitting here. You can't worship God. You can't because you had it. But when he got back, listen, God used him, man. And then Jacob, you know, he lied to his own father about him, made him believe he was Esau. Remember the blessing got passed down. He lied. He was a conniver, schemer. God put him through some things. It was his own little whale. It lasted a lot longer, about 20 years. But he put him through some things to get him to the place where his will was broken and God's will was done in his life. But you know what? God was still going to use him. God was going to use him a second chance, right? Moses, man, he killed a man, fled into the backside of the desert. He was 40 years old when he did that. You know when God used him? When he was 80 years old. It took 40 years to get him to the place, and God still used him. I know a lot of people get to be 80 years old. They just think, oh, I'm done, man. I've done all I'm going to do. God don't want to use me. Hey, some of us, it takes us to get to 80 before God got us where he can do something with us. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. But the Lord restored him, met him on the shore, and he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, you know, I love you, Lord. I love you, I love you, I love you. He told him 3 times, and the last time he said, you know, I love you, Lord. And he said, okay. He said, feed my sheep. I want you to go back out there and preach, even though you failed. And a lot of people look at their failures, you know. They think, oh, man, you know, I'm just too bad. I can't get saved. I'm too bad to save. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Everybody here that's here today, it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. You know what? We can't do anything about it a lot of times. I mean, you know, yeah, you might have to make restitutions or apologize. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying what's done is done. But you can live from this day forward. You can go a new way, a new direction right there. It doesn't matter about the, you know, God's not worried about the past. He's worried about the future, you know, what we can do now. And so this was Jonah's deal. He said, Jonah, I want you to go preach. And I'm going to tell you what, you know, Jonah did that. You know, and so he preached to Nineveh. And you know what? They had a great revival there. I mean, listen, the Ninevites were a wicked people, man. The Bible says that, you know, one of their favorite things to do, you know how they like kill people? They like to skin them alive. They stretch you all out there and just start skinning your skin off of you. You know how long it'd take you to die if somebody skinned you alive? Now, they get all your skin off of you before you die. You imagine, anybody ever skint yourself up real bad in a play? You imagine just somebody just peeling the whole thing off? It looked like a bunch of muscles hanging there and blood dripping all over. They skin you alive. They like to impale people. Was another favorite one of theirs, put you on a pole and stick it up through you there and let you hang up there until you croaked out in the hot sun. That's why Jonah didn't want to go down there. It might have been partly fear that he didn't want to go. But he went down there, man, these people got saved. These people got saved. I mean, he went down there and preached the word of God. I mean, God wanted to save them people. He loved them too. He wanted them people to get saved, and he went down there. And listen, Jonah's message, you know what he said? He preached one, it was a one-sentence message. And I know what you're thinking. Think, man, I wish our preacher only preached the one-sentence message. Well, I tell you what, if y'all repented and turned back to God with all your heart and soul, I'd preach it happily, just preach a one-sentence message, if that would work. You know what he said? All he said was, he preached one, he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And man, a revival broke out. 40 days. I read some commentators, what they had to say about that, wondered, and some of them wondered this. We don't know that. The Bible doesn't say, but they wondered this. They wondered if somebody from Nineveh or some somebodies from Nineveh didn't see that whale spit Jonah out up on the shore. Some of them even said if you've been in a whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights, that the gastric juices in there would have started working on his skin. And when he come out of there, he was just a sight to behold, and I don't mean in a good way, that he was a bad sight to behold, that he came out of there. And buddy, when he got to Nineveh and everybody was just standing there like, that's that guy that got spit out by the whale, Benny. We better listen to what he said, like E.F. Hutton, right? When he speaks, everybody listens. And he said one sentence, and buddy, they said, man, it's the truth. It's the truth. Maybe that's true. Maybe there's some truth to that. We don't know that, but it's good food for thought when you think about it. Was why could they just preach? Here's a bunch of lost people, man. A one-sentence message. 40 days, your city's going to be tore down. And so listen. But I think about this too. I'll tell you one thing. When God prepares somebody's heart and God tells us, listen, I want you to go preach. I want you to go talk to somebody about me. Then you don't need to run off to Tarsus, because God's already prepared this heart. And you go in there and talk to somebody about being saved and talk to somebody about the Lord, and I'm going to tell you what, God's already dealt with their heart. You don't hardly have to do nothing. You don't hardly have to, you just tell them, buddy, and they're ready to get saved. I believe God already prepared them people. That's why he said, Jonah, look, here's the deal. God prepares them. I got them prepared, and Randy, I want you to go talk to somebody about the Lord. God's already got it prepared. I mean, it don't get any easier than that. Just go where God leads you. That's why you pray about it, and you pray and where God wants you to go. And man, he went, if he'd have went to Nineveh, man, and preached, man, he went down there and they had a revival. And I tell you what, it sounds like a great ending, but it's not such a great ending. And I want to show you what the problem, back to one of the problems of why or how we forget God. And I think we're more like Jonah than we probably want to admit. And Jonah, through all this, Jonah never got over his main problem. And that's the main problem of being self-centered and selfish. He never got over that. Now listen, it's not so much an indictment because we are flesh. And that is the flesh. And we fight this stuff. We fight it, man. We fight giving up that chicken leg, Randy. We fight it. I lose that battle most of the time. I do. But he never got over this. And so what we cry about, what about me, instead of what about God? What about me and what about God? Sherry is reading the book. She was shared that with me. I said, I'm going to stick that in my message. And it was talking about, you know, most marriage problems. You know, when most marriages have problems or most marriages end in divorce, you know why? Because one or two people are saying, what about me? Instead of both of them saying, what about God? You boil her down pretty far. That's where you get right there. What about me instead of what about God? We look at Jonah's first prayer, and I looked at it in chapter 2. I was telling you about it. 25 personal pronouns. I, me, my, thy. And although sometimes during confession, you know, you're going to have to use personal pronouns because you're confessing for you. I understand that. And even admitted, though, look in chapter 2, verse 2, he admitted why he prayed. This is why he prayed. And this is typical right here. I made a little side note. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. So what Jonah's admitting right there, you know why I'm praying like this, God? Because I'm in a whale's belly. In other words, I wouldn't have prayed like this if it hadn't have been for this affliction. I mean, this sounds like a Baptist prayer meeting. What are we going to pray about? I got an affliction, or my friends got an affliction. It's always about an affliction. This is a typical Baptist prayer meeting. I prayed because of my affliction. That's what he's telling God. Basically, God, if you hadn't swallowed me, I had a whale swallow me, I wouldn't even been praying right now. This is it. So he admits it. He prayed out of affliction rather than affection. He didn't love the Lord. I don't know that he didn't love the Lord to any degree, but he didn't love the Lord to any more degree than before he went in the whale's belly, and he didn't love the lost. He didn't want to go down to Nineveh. He just didn't want to get swallowed by a whale again. That's what it boiled down to. Why? Because he loved himself. Those of you sports fans, y'all remember Terrell Owens? We used to laugh at Terrell Owens, right? The reality is Terrell Owens was more honest than we are. Terrell Owens said up there, he said, I love me some me, and everybody said, ah. The reality is that's you, huh? The reality is you might as well go ahead and say it too. I love me some me. That was Jonah's problem. He loved his own self. His second prayer, when you get over chapter 4, look what he prayed right here in chapter 4. He said, this was after the revival in Nineveh. It said in verse 4, chapter 1, it said it displeased Jonah exceedingly. A bunch of people got saved and he was unhappy about it. And he said he was very angry. And he prayed in the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus. I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. Boy, he sounded like a little kid, don't he? Huh? I'm all mad. I'm mad because just what I knew would happen, what happened. You went ahead and saved them people. So I went down there and preached right there. So the first prayer he prayed because of his affliction. The second prayer he prayed was out of his anger. Does this sound like how God wants us to pray? Does this sound, he's praying, but does this really sound like Jonah's at the place that God wants him to get to yet? And then he sat down. After that, he said, take my life from me. And he went out and went on to say that he went out and sat down outside the city to see what happened. He was pouting. And God prepared, in his mercy, he prepared a gourd that would grow up and give him some shade because it was hot. It was sunny. And it says in verse 6, so Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. You know, it's the only time in the whole story that it says Jonah was happy. The only one time. And what did it revolve around? Himself. He got some shade. He got some relief from what was going on physically about his body. Said he was glad. And then it says God prepared a worm and it ate the plant and it died. And now Jonah was and he was all unhappy again. And he was showing Jonah that, listen, he gives and he takes away. But here it is. Here's our problem. And when you see in chapter 8, right down there at the, chapter 4, verse 8, this is what Jonah said, the last sentence. It is better for me. You can stop right there. It is better for me. It is better for me. Jonah's whole problem and the reason that he forgot God and the reason that it's the reason that God's people forget God and it's even the reason that the world doesn't find God or has forgotten God. All we're worried about is what is better for me. What is better for me? It's not what's better for God. It's not what's better for somebody else. It's what's better for me. He wrapped it all up in a nutshell right there. That's all he was really interested in. And look, in verse 3, he said, Lord, because the Ninevites got saved, he says, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. He wanted to die. And then over here, the gourd died. And then he says, in verse 8, right ahead of what I just read, he wished in himself to die and said, it's better for me. You know what he's saying? If I don't get my way, I'd just rather die. If I don't get my way, I'd just rather die. Don't that sound just like a little kid? Well, buddy, look in the mirror. This is it. This is our problem. If we don't get our way, we're just going to die. We're going to crowd. We're going to pout. We're going to get mad with God. We're praying, but we're praying because we're mad. Well, we're gonna, and if we get into an affliction, we're going to pray about that because it revolves around us. We get worried about it. Self-centeredness. See, it's the whole problem. We got to fight against it. Hey, I'm not saying that y'all got it and I got it all figured out. I got to fight against it too. This is the problem. This is what we have. He didn't have his way. So God prepared a storm. He prepared a fish. He prepared a gourd. He prepared a worm. He's got a prepared place for those who love him. Isaiah 64:4 says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Boy, God's got a prepared place for those that love him, those that trust him. Matthew 25:34 says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared. There's another prepared place for you from the foundation of the world. A prepared place for those that love and trust him. And then he also has a prepared place for those who don't remember him and don't trust him. Matthew 24:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. There's a reality of hell, folks. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Think about that. Man, how is it for you today? You know, have you forgotten God? Have you forgotten God? Are you running from God? Are you fleeing from God? Fleeing from his presence? Trying to do that? Are you struggling with your will versus God? It's God, but me, and but God, and but me, and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, are you serving God? Are you serving God and you really don't want to? Jonah did it. It was better than nothing. It wasn't what God wanted. Jonah was never happy. One time he was happy, just revolved. Imagine that. Your life is so sorry that just when you get some shade in the heat of the day is the only time that you were glad. Went down there and preached and a bunch of people got saved. Man, I'd have been screaming from the top of the mountain. Man, you'd have heard me hollering from your house. A whole city got saved. He wasn't happy about it. Wasn't happy about it, man. Can you imagine that? Where are you at? Where are you at spiritually, really? Think about this. Who's winning this deal here? Whose will's getting done in your life? Your will or God's will? At the gun show? God's will getting done on Sunday when you at the gun show? Uh-uh. No, sir, son. Let's be honest. Let's keep it real. We ain't telling no lies in here. We're not telling no lies in here. No, sir. No, Pat Jesse called me up every once in a while. Pastor, I'm just not going to come. I'm taking the day off. I said, well, God's going to take the day off from giving you a blessing. How about that? Let's keep it real, man. Let's keep it honest. We horse around with Jesse all the time. I'm telling you the truth, Jesse. I'm telling you the truth. No, man, listen. No, we're not. Let's be real, man. Whose will is getting done in your life? Your will or God's will? Well, maybe sometime God's will is getting done in your life, but what about most of the time? What about most of the time? And what about, have you forgotten God? You know, you can be here and forgotten God. Just because you came to church on Sunday doesn't mean that you haven't forgotten God or not regarding God. that it's not a priority in your life? Where is he in your life? Really, question yourself. The Bible tells us to make our calling and election sure. Make sure that we're saved. The Bible tells us to do that, to be sure about our salvation. Let's all stand. Paul.